Begin the current Daf Masechet Erech and Daf Chaf Aleph. Begin 15 lines down at the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing achrais, responsibility. When someone takes something that he has to fulfill, a vow, some other obligation, hektish, then there's a responsibility that applies to that. Therefore, at times if something happens to that, like in the previous Mishnah, he can be obligated to compensate. Amrishta continues in a related vein. Chiyuve Erechin, the topic of our parak, of our Masechta, that if someone's obligated in the Erechin vow, if he's not paying, so then they take collateral, they take security from his assets for the obligation that he has. Now, however, continues the Mishnah, Chiyuve Chatois Vashamis. If someone has an obligation of a guilt offering, of a sin offering, in Mamashkenaisim, there they don't take security from him for the obligation that he has to pay for the Karmachatas and the Asham, because since it's an obligation for the person that's going to be his atonement is dependent on that, we know he's not going to be negligent in that. Whereas Chiyuve Oilus Vishlam, an obligation for Karban Oila and the Shlam, where even though by Karban Oila that atones for a positive commandment if someone violates a Kamitzah Saseh, but since it's not an obligation on him, so it's not considered as an atonement, so therefore the person then might come to delay, as we said regarding a chiyuv erechin, and mamashkenais, and therefore we have to take security from the person to make sure that we get the monies from him regarding his obligation. Now, on that the Mishnah explains, ava pishei miskapa lo yad shiyisratza, although the halacha is that a person only gets an atonement when he is doing this willingly, shenema like the pasuk says, l'ritzayin according to his will, so how are we forcing him that on some level, the karban oila, there is an atonement element over there? And that atonement is only for the mitzvah, say, when he does it willingly. So how are we coercing the person? Because ultimately, it's not so obligatory, because it's not a full-fledged atonement that we could that we have to force him. How could you force him? Says the Mishnah, because what you do is, you force him until he says, I want. Because the truth is, deep inside, every Jew wants to do the mitzvah of Hashem. And b'chinat ta'im b'gitin nashim, same thing applies by the divorce documents of women. The get has to be given according to the willingness of the husband, but there are certain situations that he has to, but if he doesn't want to, we force him, we coerce him until he says, I do that I want, and then once he wants to, then he fulfills the obligation of it being done, Lord Sinai. Now, in converse to the Mishnah, Amra Papa says, Pa'amim, there are times, Shechiyu bechatois memashkenoisen. Although we said for Karmachatas, a person's atonement depends on that, that is not going to be negligent, so therefore we don't have to take collateral. And that says, Rav Papa, at times, the Karmachatas, we will. And inversely, chiyuv eilos ein mamashkenaisen. Although we said for an eila that we have to be mamashkenim because it's not a real sin offering, it's just a positive commandment, he didn't violate a negative prohibition. So there we said we have to be mamashken. He says sometimes we don't have to. As the Gemara explains, chiyuv chatois mamashkenaisen, what's the times that a karma chatas, a sin offering, we will have to take collateral? Is bechatas nazar, is by the sin offering of a nazar. Person that took a vow not to partake of wine and other prohibitions, where in his final services he brings a karmachatas, for that one we mamashken him. Why? To keep him the mamash, since the Tana says in the Mishnah Masechtas Nazir, im gilach al echad mishlashtan, if he cuts his hair after one of the three karbanas that he brings at the culmination of his services, there's a chatas, there's an oila, there's a shlamim, because there are three karbanas that are written in the parsha and in the sefri debay rav. It says in the pasuk va'achar yishtah nazayin, after it says in the singular, then the nazir could drink wine, which says even after one of the karbanas. So therefore, the Tana says if he cuts his hair after one of the three karbanas, yatzei has fulfilled his obligation. And v'im nirzrak olav echad min adam, and if one of the karbanas of those three karbanas bloods were thrown on the mizbeach, so then the Nazarite becomes permitted to drink wine and to be metamed to dead people. So therefore, we would think Pasha above Eloi Maisi that he's going to be negligent with the Karmachatas and he's not going to bring it. Because, yeah, you see, look, I'm already done. I already have my atonement. I already have my services being completed, although I have more karbanas. But hey, you see, I can already drink wine, I can do all these things, even if it's on the Eilo or the Shlamim. So because of that, in this situation, the Karmachatas, we have to be mashkinim. Now, we said chiva eilis eimim ashkenaisim, we could have a situation that a karban eila, that we don't have to do the collateral because he most definitely will be brought. That's ba'eilis yeledis. That's a karban eila of a woman that gave birth, where she's not permitted to partake of kachem until she brings it, so that, of course, the person's not going to be negligent because it serves their own self-interest. And therefore, that eila, we don't have to be mashken. That says the Gemara, my niyu. In other words, Why are you saying that in this situation, the Korban Oila, we don't have to be mashkin because it's ma'akev, it's integral, and of course she's going to bring that Korban Oila. Why are you saying that? Because the akta mekra. Because although generally it's the Korban Chatas that's the primary, here in the Oila of the Yeledis, her Oila obligation, the totally burnt sacrifice, is mentioned in the Pasuk before the Korban Chatas. Like it says, Tabi Kebes ben Shnasi la'Oila, and then it talks about the Korban Chatas. And that says the Gemara, but Vama Rava said, Lemekra Hegedi Ma'akasev. This that the Pasuk writes Oila before Chatas was only in the way it should be read in the Torah. But not that it should actually be sacrificed first, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Zevachim, Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph. So therefore, to the contrary, the Oila is not what permits her to partake Kachim, it's the Chatas that's the primary. So why would you say that would be a situation that we don't have to be mashkin her because it's integral when it's not? Elie rather says the Gemara, no, the case by the Oila would be Ba'ilas Mitzayra. Mitzayra in his purification process, one that has a negative tzaras, because the Karban Oila, that Oila is Ma'akim, and therefore we don't have to be a mashkin. To sound like we learned a Braisa, B'shmol B'nai Shab Yudah, Ben Berekoim, he says, Kishem Shechatase V'Hashame Akvasa, just like his Karban Chatas and his Karban Ashim, as always, those guilt and sin offerings are Ma'akim, they're integral, Kachay Lase Akvasa, so too the Oila's Mitzayra is Ma'akim him from his purification process, and since it's Ma'akim, therefore a person in his own self-interest will bring it, and we don't have to be mashkin, we don't have to take collateral security from such a person to force them to bring that Karban Oila. The Mishnah said, V'Ava Pishem Eskapalei Ashrei Tzratza, how do we have these situations? Like by an oila, that when we're afraid they're not going to bring it, then we take collateral, we so to speak force them. Isn't this halacha that their atonement can only be when the person does it willingly? So the Mishnah explained, yeah, we force them until they say that I want. So Tanya Bar Lan, the Braisa explains this halacha. It says in the pasuk Yakrev Oisa. This tells Bezdin, this tells the sages that he should bring his carbon. What that tells us is Malam Echakayfin Oisa. This teaches that because they coerce him. They get him to bring his carbon. That's why he's saying he should bring his. Why are you telling to Bezin? Because Bezin should make sure that he brings his carbon. Now, Yoch Bal Karcha, you would think, okay, you could do it against his will. Tamalay Milert Sinus, but then the Pasi says, no, it has to be according to his will. So says the Braisa, okay, so how so? Are you forcing him or is it according to his will? Says the Braisa, Kaifen Isa Yachim, it reads on the. You force him until he says, I want. So there is an element of coercion, but there's an element of that has to be willing, which is that you force him until he says, I want. Related to this halacha, Amar Shmuel, he says, Oila tzricha das. Karban Oila, when someone's bringing his Karban Oila, he has to bring it according to his intention, with his consciousness, with his willingness. Shnemah, like it says in the Pasuk, Lord Tzayin, according to his will. Ask the Gemara, Maika Mashmalan, what's Shmuel teaching? Tanina, this is the halacha of our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, Ava Bishay Miskapali Achi Yisratza, although a person cannot have an atonement until he does it willingly. Shnemah, like it says in the Pasuk, Lord Tzayin, according to his will. So we know that the Karban Oila has to be brought according to his will. And that was what the Mishnah was addressing when we said by the Oila that you're going to take Bimashkin and take collateral. So we said that Kavin Naisei Achi Yamaretzani, what's Shmuel teaching? Says the Gemara, Lord Tzricha, no, Shmuel's halacha was necessary. The parish lechavre, when his friend separated the carbon, meaning this person was obligated in the carbon oila, and his friend came and separated from his own animals a carbon oila for that person's atonement. That Shmuel's saying that he has to have the notification and the understanding of the one who's getting the atonement. Because ma'av detem, what would you say? Kibi in the dust. No, when do you need the agreement and the understanding of the person who's bringing the oila? That's midi day. That's, for example, when it's coming from his own animals, when the court is taking collateral from him, he has to say that I want. But when it's his friend's animal, his friend is spending the money on his own animal, then you wouldn't need. That's what Shmuel is teaching, that even then you need to have Lord Sinai. At times a person will not be in agreement that he should have an atonement with something that's not his own. And the Shmuel's teaching, the extent of the halacha of Lord Sinai is totally according to his will, not only in the separation of the animal, but even in regards to the atonement, that it has to be with the understanding, with the agreement, even when it's his friend's animal, he has to agree that is the carbon that's being brought for himself. Now, Meisvei, however, the Gemara asks on Shmuel from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Chatasei v'ashamish l'ploini alive. Someone says, the guilt offering of that person is on me. I'm taking responsibility to bring his carbon. So the Gemara continues on the base and says, L'das, if he does it with the understanding, meaning he notifies the one who's getting the atonement, so yatzah, so that person has fulfilled his obligation. Shalei l'das lo yatzah. But if he brings the Karban Chatas l'asha, but that person without him knowing, so that's not okay, that's not going to be fulfilling that obligation. Now, that's regarding Chatas and Asham. Continues the Braisa, I lost the shlam of Shal Ploini life. It says that carbon I love that person, or his shlamim is on me. Bein ladas, bein shaloi ladas yatsa. Whether it's with his understanding or without his understanding, it's fulfilled his obligation. Now that contradicts Shmuel, because he would see clearly that even the carbon ayla, even if the person's bringing from his own, shaloi ladas is yatsa. And Shmuel said that no, even when it's from the other person's animals, he has to have by the ayla, the notification of the one who's getting the atonement. So Amal Choshmuel, he says to you, Kitanya, he, when we learn this brisa, that we don't need das bailim when it's the ayla and it's being brought from his friend's animals? That's b'shas kapara. That's at the time of the atonement. Why at the time of the atonement doesn't he need his friend's acquiescence and understanding? Because the irti b'shas afrash, there's two stages in bringing up a carbon. First you separate it, you designate it, and then you bring it as a carbon. So since his friend was already understanding and okayed it when he separated, so he doesn't need to have his understanding for the ayla and the shlamim at the time when he's getting the atonement. When did I say by the Ayla that even if it's the other person's animal that you need to have the understanding of the one who's getting the atonement? That's B'shas HaFrash. That's the time that you separated. So yes, of course, the time of separating, even by the Ayla, even if it's the other person's animals, you need to have his das, but by the Kapara, by the Ayla, then you don't need his das. Now says the Gemara, Pliga to Ula, that this teaching of Shmuel disagrees with Ula, because Ula says exactly the opposite. The Amma Ula said, Leichilku bin Chatas la'ayla. He says they didn't differentiate between the Korban Chatas and the Ayla. Ella, what's the difference? Shechatas tzricha das b'shas hafrasha. The Chatas needs to have the person's understanding and agreement at the time when the animal is separated. The Ayla, but regards to the Ayla, ain't tzricha das b'shas hafrasha. Then you don't need to have his understanding at the time that it's separated. That's regarding hafrasha, and that's where they differentiate. Abashas kapar, but at the time when the atonement is happening, idi, both the ayla and the chatas, ladas yatza. You only fulfill the obligation if then he's in agreement and understanding. Shalay ladas la yatza, but if it's not with his understanding, then you have not fulfilled the obligation. So it comes that Ula is saying the exact opposite. He's saying by the ayla that you don't need das at the hafrasha, and you do need das at the kapara, where Shmuel said you don't need das at the time of the kapara, and you do need das at the time of the hafrasha. Now, however, both of them do differentiate, one at the Hafrasha, one at the Kapara, and that makes for the Gemara asked from the following Braisa on both of them. The Braisa says, Chatase v'ashamei oilasei b'shlamav shal ploini alai. Someone says, that person's Chatas, or his Ashram, or his Oilo, or his Shlamim of that person is on me, I'm going to take care of it, I'm going to bring his carbon. So says the Braisa, L'das yatzah, if he does with that person's understanding, he's fulfilled his obligation. Shalei l'das l'yatzah, without his understanding, he's not fulfilled his obligation. So you see that by all of them, Ayla Chat is no difference. You need to have Das, and that's difficult according to both of them, because both of them differentiated by one of the cases. They differentiate between the Ayla and a Chatas, that you don't need to have Das. And here you see clearly that you need to have his Das. And that says the Gemara, each one will answer accordingly. Shmuel Mukila B'Shas HaFrasha. Shmuel explained that this Braisa is talking about at the time when you separate. When you separate, Shmuel said, yes, even the Ayla needs to have Das. And Ula Mokila B'Shas Kapar, and Ula explained this to my time of the atonement. There Ula said yes, then all of them need Das. It's the other case that each one is going to differentiate and say by Ula that you don't need to have Das. Now, Amra Papi, he elaborates on this and he says, Masniyasa Ahadadi. The two Brises, one on the other, because we learned in the previous Brisa that had said that if someone says that person's Ula and Shlamim is on me, so the Brisa says, Bein Ladas, Bein Shalei Ladas, Yatza. It's fulfilled this obligation. You don't need to have das by the ayla. Then we have this last verse that we just quoted. It says, no, by all of them, including ayla, if it's done without das, you have not fulfilled the obligation. So that's the Rabbah Loi Kashin. The two brises are not difficult, one on the other, because ha, one of them is talking about b'shas kapara, at the time of the atonement. Ha, b'shas afrasha, one of them is talking about at the time of when you designate and you separate the animals. Now, but which is which? So that's the Rabbah, because v'amaroi namele kashin. The brises are not difficult on the Amayram, because as we said, and that's how actually the two braces are resolved, Shmuel Muki Kamaisa B'Shas Kapara. Shmuel explains the first braisa that says that you don't need to have das by the carbon oila, it's from at the time of the atonement, because that's when you don't need to have das. Basraisa B'Shas Afrasha. The second braisa that says you do need das is talking about when you separate it. Then even the oila needs to have das. Whereas Ula Muki Ibcha, like we said, but Ula says the exact opposite, and that's how it resolves the two braises. So the braises are not difficult one the other, and neither is it difficult according to the interpretation of the Amiram, but says Rapapa, Amirah Vadi Pliki, but the Amiram definitely disagree, where they say the exact opposite of regarding when do you differentiate with Oila, that it doesn't need Das, is it at the time of the Kapara, or is it at the time of the Afrash? So then asks the Gemara in Rapapa, Pshit says, obvious, what exactly was the novelty in what he was teaching us? Says the Gemara, Ma'adu Temu, what would you say, My b'shas afrash of the Kamer Shmuel. What is it that Shmuel said at the time of the separation, which is how the Gemara had explained Shmuel previously, that that's when you need to have das by the Karban Oila, although he said you don't that there's no das that you need to have. That's the time of the Kapara. But at the time of the afrasha, that's when you need to have das by the Karban Oila. You would think he means af b'shas afrasha, also at the time of the designation, meaning that whether you're at the hafrasha, or whether you're at the by Kapara, by your Karban Oila, you need to have das to the Bailam. And it's actually not only by hafrasha, it's even by hafrasha. And therefore, he's not disagreeing with Ula on the time of the Kapara. Now, if we had interpreted Shmuel that way, then even though, that means to say the first braisa we had previously quoted, would have been the refutation of his opinion, because that first braisa says that by the Karban Oila, you don't need to have das. And now we're saying that according to Shmuel, by Oila, you always need to have das, whether, not only by Hafrasha, even by Hafrasha, but of course by Kapara too, like Ula says, because essentially what the Gemara is saying is what we would have thought is that the previous Gemara's answer that it said that no, Shmuel is going to tell you that that braisa is not difficult on him, that he says that, oh, that's by Kapara and that's by Afrasha. The Gemara is entertaining to say without Rav Papa, we would have said that that's not significant. We would have assumed that, of course, according to Shmuel, like Ula says, and he would not be disagreeing with Ula on that, that you need to have das by Ola by Kapara. He's just saying that you even need to have by Afrasha. And that's what Rav Papa is coming to say, Kamash Malan, Rav Papa, that, no, that when he's saying that the braises are not difficult according to both Amiram, and that's the point that is that was the chiddush of his halacha, that Shmuel would explain that the first braisa is talking about at the time of Kapar. Which the inference is that according to Shmuel, that by Kapar you don't need to have das, which means to say that's exactly like we had answered previously for Shmuel, but that you would not have known without Rav Papa telling us that that was a valid approach, like we had previously said, that it's not only it's not af b'hafrasha, it's only b'hafrasha need to have das, but by kapara, like the first braisa says, and that's how we explain the first braisa, that's when the Karban Oila does not need to have das. Now the Mishnah said, v'chim b'gitei noshim, the same halacha that we said regarding karbanis in our Mishnah, applies to divorce documents. We're kaifin v'chulu, that we coerce the person until he says, right, Sandy, okay, I want to give the divorce document. Now Amrav Sheshish, related to this halacha, he says, hayman d'meisa meida agita, someone that hands over a declaration regarding the divorce document, which is that they were forcing him to give a get. So he says to witnesses, be witnesses to see that I'm being coerced over here, that I'm being forced, and I don't really want to give it, and therefore that would not make it a valid get. So maidah imadah, so the notification is a valid notification, and it's not going to be a get. And that is the Gemara of Sheshit Pshita, obviously, where he's notifying that it's not really he wants to give it. Says the Gemara, loit tzvichet, no, it's necessary, da asua, it's told about where afterwards that they did push him, v'yiratzi, and he ended up agreeing to give the get. But he never nullified that previous notification that he was not willing to give the get. Mao detainment betuli batli, so what would you think that now his acquiescence is nullifying that original maidah, because look, he's agreeing to give it. Kamash Malan, that's Rav Sheshit's teaching that no. And where did he know this halacha? From our Mishnah. Because the imkain, if that would be the case, that the agreement would automatically nullify the previous maidah, then listen, our Mishnah should have taught that we force him, until he actually gives the get. My atche yoimer, what is it until he says, I agree? Which is, he has to nullify verbally his previous notification. He has to say, I'm okay. He can't just give it. Because if he's saying, agreeing to give it, and he's giving it, is enough. So then why do you have to, why atche yoimer? Because yoimer, you have to say, you have to nullify the previous maidah. Without that, the previous maidah is not butlan, will not be a valid get. We shall return to you the fifth parak, Masechet Erech and parak Ha'im Mishkalei, which spoke about if someone takes upon himself different obligations, one of them being my weight, and different types of obligations, including the halachas of Erechin. And with that, we begin the sixth parak, Masechet Erech and parak Shum HaYisayimim, which continues on the theme of the previous Mishnayos of the last parak regarding Achrayis Nechasim, a person's obligations of his assets for his obligations, and then how one goes about it collecting from those assets. So the Mishnah says, Shum HaYisayimim, the evaluation of the assets of orphans, which is, the court goes down to the assets of orphans to sell them to be able to pay back debts that they have for Bali Chayvis. So what they do is that they evaluate the land and then they announce it for a period of Shleishim Yom, of 30 days, and they say, whoever wants to buy should come and buy these properties. Now, Shum HaHekdesh, when they evaluate Hekdesh, when the treasurer is selling land owned by Hekdesh, by the temple, Shishim Yom, that's done for a period of 60 days. And they announced the sale for those 30 or 60 days in the morning and in the evening. So now the Gemara clarifies, why is it specifically in the morning and the evening? So maybe the Rabbi says, because b'shas haitzos poilim, in the morning is when the workers are going out to work, and in the evening, b'shas hachnasos poilim, is when the workers are coming back. As the Gemara explains, b'shas haitzos poilim, when the workers are going out to work, de'ikad de'nichel mizvan, that's the time when people want to go ahead and buy properties, where amlu l'poilim, he's going to tell his workers when they're going out to the fields and they're hearing, who wants to buy this field? So he's going to tell his worker, look, izilu sairul nahali, go ahead, check out that field, see if it's a good piece of property. And now, b'shas hachnasos poilim, when the workers are coming back, the nitker, where they're going to hear the announcements again, and the employer is going to recall in the evening what the amalahu, what he had told to the workers in the morning, and nasal nishalel, he's going to go and ask them, he said, wait a second, remember that lamb they told you in the morning to go check out? What was the status of it? I'm hearing the announcement again here in the evening. Tanam Halacha is similar in the Brice, the way we're explaining that Shema Yisayim Shalei Shemayim, like we said in the Mishnah, the evaluation of the orphan's properties for a period of 30 days, Vishema Hektash Shishim Yayim, and the evaluation of Hektash properties for 60 days, Umachrizim Babayka Be'erb, and we announce it in the morning and the evening. And what was the reason? So the Brice says, like we said, because B'shas Atzoyis Poilim, U'B'shas Achnas Poilim, is when the workers are going out to work, and the workers are coming back. Now, Oimer, when they're announcing, they say, saw the plenty of that field, B'simoneo uva mitzareho, with its identifying features and with its boundaries. And they say, kachi yafa, this is what's good about it, this is how much produce it makes. For kachi shuman, this is how much it was evaluated by the courts, how much its value is. Kalareitza likach yove v'ikach, whoever wants to buy it should come and buy it. Amanas, with the intention that it should be used to pay back to the creditor, either litin lisha b'ksubasa, because it has to be given to a woman to pay her ksuba, her dowry, ulabal chay b'chayva, or for the creditor for the debt that's owed to him. Now the Gemara asks, Lomeli Lamema, why was it necessary to say to announce Almanas Litin Lisha Ksubasa, because it has to be given to a woman to pay her ksuba, or for the creditor for his debt? Why would that be incentive for the buyers to make that announcement? Says the Gemara, because the ikka that are buyers, the nichele, that they prefer to pay back to whether it be Bibal Chayv, a creditor, why would they want to be paying for this land who's being owned on some level by the creditor? Because the Mekel Bezuzi, because this businessman who the debt is owed to, he'll take coins and currency that are broken and deficient, because businessmen, they're not particular about it. They just give me the money. So it would be an incentive to buy it if it's a Baal Chayv, because he'll take this poor, deficient type of currency. Now, but then those who would prefer when it's being paid by for Ksuba Isha, when the woman is the one who's collecting, because the Shakla al-Yad al-Yad, because she'll take it little by little. She doesn't need all the money one time. She's like, as long as I'm getting the payments, I'm okay. So a person would sometimes prefer that he doesn't have all the capital right now. He doesn't have liquid cash. He'll want it that it's Ksuba Isha. So therefore, they make that an announcement, because that could be an incentive for a buyer to want to buy this land from the orphans.